Bits, a brief podcast before the M&A and Tech Conference in Berlin. A very warm welcome to TechLaw Bits, a small podcast in preparation of the 6th M&A in the Technology Sector Conference in Berlin in March 2023. This is an International Bar Association conference and will be held on March 23rd and 24th. And one of the most visited sessions will, of course, be the roundtable session on hot topics in tech M&A. To give you a flavor of what to expect, I speak with most of the moderators of the roundtables on their specific topic. And today I'm kicking this off with Søren Skibsted, who will be co-moderating a table on cybersecurity issues in M&A deals. Welcome to the show, Søren Skibsted from Copenhagen in Denmark. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Martin. I'm fine. It's a wonderful day. It's a sunny day in Copenhagen and a good day to talk a bit about cybersecurity.
It's a good day to stay inside and look outside to enjoy the sun. Same in Berlin, very sunny weather, very good to talk about. This, as I said, you're Søren Skibsted from Chrome and Roymert in Copenhagen. You will moderate a table at the roundtable session at our Berlin conference, and maybe you can say a little more about yourself and the table topic and your co-host you're doing this together with.
Sure. Yeah. As mentioned, my name is Søren Skibsted. I'm a partner with Chrome and Roymert in Copenhagen. I'm the practice head of IT technology and cybersecurity in our firm, and I've been involved with the IBA for quite some years. I'm the former co-chair of the technology committee and the current co-chair of the presidential task force of cybersecurity, and we are aiming to come out with a report, a guideline on global cybersecurity within the next few months. My co-host is Joachim Johannesson, and I'm delighted that we are doing this together. He's a prominent lawyer from Sweden, experienced within both cybersecurity and M&A.
Right. And you being the co-host of the Presidential Task Force on Cybersecurity is basically equips you well, at least, to moderate the table on overlooked cybersecurity risks in M&A deals. So what is the topic about, and what are the like overlooked risks you see there?
Yeah, so really the baseline for this topic is that cybersecurity today is on the top three risks for private companies and government. And as a result, it needs to be a point of focus in M&A deals. And I think it's fair to say that it hasn't been given the appropriate attention globally so far. And our aim with this table topic is to equip the IBA community, you know, to better understand the cybersecurity risks associated with M&A deals and provide some input and inspiration as to how to approach that. So that's the basic idea.
Absolutely. And how can that be basically transferred to M&A deals? What's the role of cyber threats there?
Well, basically, the aim when advising in M&A deals is really to evaluate cybersecurity risks in the target against best practices. I mean, this might be detrimental to going concern for the company and might fully undermine the business case of the buyer. So you need to look into the cybersecurity throughout the entire life cycle of an M&A deal. So this is in the information memorandum, it's part of the due diligence process, the Q&A process, it's part of the agreement, the overall agreement, the reps and warranties, and maybe even, you know, the insurance part. So this goes throughout the life cycle, and our aim here is to provide a little inspiration as to how to approach that.
Right. And obviously you're looking into seeing threats before they happen. I actually have a deal right now, a cyber ransomware attack, where I was a little surprised as to the speed of negotiation on paying a ransom and whatever. It turns out after the thing was closed that there was a deal going on I didn't know about in the mother company in the behind, and people just wanted to close this, obviously disclose it to a potential buyer, but basically have it solve before anything has been sold. So is that something that you see, that there's like imminent risks that are being bought or seen and then basically taken into account?
I mean, the case you're mentioning there is probably an unusual case, if I understood it correctly.
Yeah.
You know, in parallel with an M&A deal going on, there is a ransomware attack. I haven't seen that myself, but of course it happens. But the reality is, if we take, you know, your example, a ransomware attack, I mean, it might be detrimental to the turnover of the company. It might be detrimental to the compliance of the company. And depending on the industry, if it's financial security, for financial services, it's the energy sector, you know, you might be exposed to a very big fine. The reputation of the company, the trust in the company. I mean, it goes to all different kinds of parts of the company that might undermine, you know, the attractiveness of that company in the context of an M&A deal. So it's a very good example of why this needs to be on a focal point, among others, of course, as part of an M&A deal.
Right. And what would you basically advise buyers to look especially into? I mean, you know, there's this old issue about, you know, I never know how much to invest into IT. I only know there was not enough. But so what are you looking at? What is your advice to when you know, invest in a company and looking particularly at cybersecurity risk there?
So there's, of course, a technical part, which, you know, wouldn't be the point of focus for a lawyer, but it could be a point of focus for a lawyer to ensure that there is a technical due diligence in terms of, do we have any malware in the system that is detectable? I mean, because that might, you know, come to life post-closing, and that's bad news. So one part. But the other part is really to assess the maturity of the company in respect of cybersecurity. So that goes to, have the board of directors, top management, have they made a risk assessment? Have they identified the vulnerabilities in the context of that specific company, their specific valuable assets, and their industry? Have they identified the risk appetite? I mean, in the context of their risk assessment, are there plans, processes, policies in place? Do they have a contingency plan that is not online, that is physical, because otherwise they might not be able to access that? If there's a ransomware attack, for example, is there reporting and control in place from the board of directors, the top management? And what about the culture and the people? And one of the weakest links here is, you know, people clicking on, you know, an email received, stuff like that. Culture and people matters really here. And that goes to the education, you know, the culture that is set from the top management point. And then ultimately, are they well advised in terms of competences available within the organization or externally? And do they have a, you know, clear allocation of responsibility for this? So this goes to the maturity, the overall maturity of the company that gives you a sense of whether this is a secure company to invest in.
Absolutely. And that is basically something the seller should have, you know, been doing all the time, or if it's a good company, has done in the past. So that is basically ticking boxes, but you might identify issues that still need to be fixed before
absolutely
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that I'm still to discover a company that is, you know, compliant with what we would call best practices, and including NIS2 that is coming in Europe. Of course, we have a broader scope than Europe, but NIS2 is coming soon. It's in force at the end of 2024. But I'm still to see any company that is close to being in compliance with that. So it's a huge task, and it is work in progress all the time. And you know, prior to an M&A deal, of course, you know, seller would be well advised, you know, to make sure that they have a reasonable maturity in place. Because if you have a competent buyer, they would be looking for this.
You mentioned NIS2. Can you, like the less experienced, maybe not so much technical or tech lawyers, what is NIS2 about and where does it come from?
So this comes from EU, and it's an industry-wide new regulation that is aiming to improve cybersecurity in all societies within EU. And that would require top management to focus on this. It'll require virtually all companies, not all companies, but virtually all companies to ensure that they have a certain level of maturity. And that goes to risk assessment, risk appetite, plans and processes, culture, and so on. And it needs to be starting from the top. It is a GDPR plus, I could say, regulation. So you would see, big fines of 2% of the annual global turnover of any company. And of course, it depends on the jurisdiction, whether this is something that you'd be looking into. In Denmark, you wouldn't see fines of that magnitude, but potentially. So this is a kind of regulation focusing on cybersecurity that is similar to GDPR, but I would call it a GDPR plus regulation from the EU.
Right. And we'll see what that, large companies will have to basically look for compliance with NIS2 as well as they did with GDPR. Some do, some invest a lot of money to be compliant, others don't. So as always, we will see how that comes out and how that plays out. Are there, when looking back at your table topic, best practices 2023, do you expect any controversial issues? Is there things that sellers, buyers would see differently? Are there things that you expect in different jurisdictions to be seen differently when we, you sit around with 10 colleagues from all over the world? Is there something you expect there?
Of course, there are certain areas globally that are actually accepting and to some extent promoting cyber attacks. And that is certain regions. I'm not disclosing any secrets here by saying this is Russia, Iran, maybe China to some extent. But being a global organization like the IBA, we are promoting the rule of law, democracy, and I think we want to be, clear and voiceable about this is not acceptable. But it could be a point of controversy. But except from that, I think the point of discussion is really here, why hasn't lawyers, part of the IBA community, why haven't we been more swift in adopting this as an area of advice? There's a lot of value in doing this proactively prior to an M&A process from the seller point of view, but also when you're advising a buyer, this topic, cybersecurity, may be detrimental to the entire rationale of the deal. Why haven't we been much more active in developing this area when we're advising companies worldwide? I think that's something we need to take on our shoulders and improve immediately.
Right. I think part of this is the M&A or the IBA's conference on M&A in tech is basically aiming at just that, to basically look at technology sector or technology legal advice in M&A. That is what you and I have been doing for quite some time now. We've always looked at data protection. We always looked at IT licensing diligences. And now, since a couple of years, but I agree, maybe not enough, we've been focusing on cybersecurity issues. Maybe last question, Søren, we will have big competition, I think 17 roundtables, and only 3 rounds, I guess, on March 23 in the Ritz-Carlton in Berlin. Why would attendees looking to join your and Joachim's table?
Yeah, you'll be listening to Joachim Johannesson's great experience with this within this area. But except from that, you would gain a competitive advantage vis-a-vis your competitors. If you are able to take back from this table topic, you know, the ability to advise professionally on how to approach cybersecurity in an M&A context. And I'm guessing now, but I think it's a qualified guess, that the vast majority of lawyers do not have sufficient competences in advising professionally on this topic. You would be able to take that back if you're joining our table in Berlin.
And that's exactly what you should do. If you haven't done so, sign up for the M&A conference or M&A and tech conference. I will put the link in the show notes. And the session we're talking about is on March 23rd. It's early. It's the first session of the whole conference at 9 o'clock or 9:10. Well, very much looking forward to seeing you, Søren, and everybody else, obviously, as well. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Martin. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Bits.